Kinsbo. I'm the General Manager of Developer and Platform Evangelism in the U.S., and I am here with Mickey and David from Udesic today. Why don't you two just introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm David Plowman. I'm the Director of .NET Application Development.
I'm Mickey Williams. I'm the Director of the Center of Excellence at Udesic.
Great. Hey, thanks for spending some time with us here today. We're here on the backdrop of PDC. You know, a lot of buzz on cloud computing or software plus services that we like to talk about in Microsoft. So you guys have really been ahead of the curve. You've been thinking about this for a long while. So we want to today just get a little bit of your thoughts. How do you think about cloud computing and software plus services broadly? And then given that you work with so many different developer types, I think it'd be great for a lot of people to understand how you think about the opportunities for different types of developers.
Right.
So Microsoft went up at PDC at the stage, right, and we have our way of thinking about the software plus services and getting the message across. But how do you think about it broadly?
Well, I think I have to confess I was just a skeptic or agnostic about cloud computing until I had the opportunity to get a little bit of an advanced view of what was going on at Microsoft, and I really came back a strong believer. If you think about what a typical developer goes through, and I don't care if you're a lone developer, if you work on something for a business like the enterprise or out there for something for consumers, you typically probably have created software and run it on-premise. And the fact that you can now put it in another place, the cloud, might seem like not that big a deal. After all, we've had hosting for years. But it is a big deal and what the capabilities are. And the more you delve into it, as we'll get into, it is really, I think, a paradigm shift. This is a big wave. This is a big thing. If you're not convinced now, perhaps you will be at the end of this talk.
Yeah. Yeah, so we think that if you look back on the history of application development, every 7 to 8 years there's a new wave. So if you look back in the early 90s, we had the release of COM, Almanole. And then about 7 or 8 years later, we had the release of .NET. We think that this is a wave that's really on the same par with that kind of technology. It really touches every type of developer. And it doesn't even, we're mainly talking about AppPlat here, but it's really more than that. It's actually even going to impact developers that are working primarily in, say, SharePoint and IW and that kind of thing. So we're actually very excited about it.
So your classic enterprise developer is really what you're saying.
Yeah. And really, not only developers, but then different industries will be able to leverage the capabilities in the cloud. So it's a very exciting time for us, I think.
Talk to me a little bit about what convinced you as you dug deeper into it that the cloud is different and that it is worth, that it's just not hosting and extending existing stuff. Why is it, why is it special? Why is it different?
So I think I gave you a lot of answers to that. This is such a big thing. There's something in it for everybody. Every day, new insights are occurring to me. But a really big one is, what are some of the things that are the hardest things to pull off? Let's say in the enterprise. Hardest things to pull off.
Now let's talk about the enterprise developers.
Okay, so scalability, high availability. We know how to do these things. We're consultants in the desert. We know how to help people do these things. But even people who are really good at it aren't going to pretend it's easy or cheap or immediate to achieve those things. It takes hard work. High availability, reliability, almost infinite scale capability now. Those are things you get automatic with the platform in the cloud every time you use it. You don't have to do anything special to get it.
Yeah, and that it's interesting you touch on that. One of the things I was thinking about is we talked about that fabric model for Windows Azure, which is the code name for, or not, it's the official name for the services in the cloud that we offer. When .NET came out, one of the big things was to have memory management and other things handled for you, so you don't have to think about that as a developer anymore. One way I think about it, going into the cloud is there's a lot of the provisioning and scaling and things like that you don't have to think about anymore, at least the way you have to. And it just takes a lot of hard work from smart people to put that software together, and then all of us can benefit from having that scale.
Sure. Okay. So I went to a great talk at the PDC where they talked about how the message fabric or how the fabric works and all the work that goes into making sure that system is scalable and highly available. And it's not that it's rocket science, but it is something that you would never do if you were an enterprise developer building your own app. And the fact that you can take advantage of that just by deploying up into the cloud using a very easy-to-use tool set is just something that's completely different than what we have today.
That's right.
So, I mean, today, if I host something at one of the, any number of hosters, it's a commodity service now, what I get is a box.
Yeah.
And the box is going to have some level of service level agreement, but it doesn't have things that you get in the cloud like, okay, the VM has a problem, we're going to throw the VM away.
Yeah.
The server has a problem, we're throwing the server away. Yeah. And that happens automatically without me getting involved. And that's just a completely new playing field for all kinds of developers.
That's what you typically do in an enterprise. I should point out, you know, we see all sorts of enterprise customers, and some enterprise customers are very good at doing IT. I think almost all of us would agree that's probably a minority of the companies out there, right? There are a lot of companies that need technology, but technology is not necessarily core to their business. And if they could reduce, if they could significantly reduce their IT footprint locally,
yeah,
that's a big win for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's also this radical change in how you approach funding operations. It used to be with the cloud, you could turn capital expenditures into operating expenditures, so getting away from upfront, hey, I bought this thing here that has to have, you know, be accounted for a certain way. Now a business can pay for itself as it operates.
Well, yeah. I mean, we have a few customers that have large data centers. And by that, I mean, you know, dozens of machines. So let's say you have 40 servers that you're using and a couple of different data centers to serve the public. You know, if I have to go out and capitalize that and pay for that up front and then write it off over a few years, completely different story than if it's just an expense for me. So I write that off against my income. That's, you know, okay, where's the developer talk? We should tune the toilet. But business people get really excited about it, right? So it'll be easier to spin up projects that you might have had a certain amount of pushback.
It might also be more fun to be, as you said, be a developer, because you have to work with those hurdles. Hey, I have this great project, and then you have to go pitch for the budget, and you have to get this much budget approved up front.
Right.
Now you sort of build your project, and you can pay as you go, so you don't have to pitch for the big budget. Up front, you can just do whatever you think is cool, right. You know, show that it works and scale it from there,
right.
as it gives business value.
Yeah, exactly. So there was a time where if David and I got involved on a little project, we could say, well, we're working on our spare time, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, when you go live, you're going to have to make the big spin.
Yeah.
But now it's David and I working on our own, and maybe we don't even tell anybody we're going to roll it out. We can just, like, eke it out into the cloud. Yeah. It's like, hey, look, we're getting a certain number of hits. You know, look at how great this is. I think it's a great incubation project idea. So
absolutely. It really fosters experimentation. There's no cost to trying things out now. The hurdles for trying out interesting things now have been lowered, and I think we're seeing a lot of great innovation worldwide. Mm-hmm.
So while we stay on, if we sort of stay on the enterprise developer for a little while, one of the things that a lot of enterprises have been investing in, or at least talking about, is, you know, service-oriented architectures and so on. How does the cloud help them when they've made these massive investments and they have a nice, you know, beautiful architecture and, you know, the enterprise buzz is set up and everything? You know, do they throw all that stuff out?
You're Dr. Soto.
So first of all, everything going on in the cloud, which, by the way, is being very nicely designed and refactored in a sense to be, what's the right way to get at the right building blocks and combine them easily? All of that is in line with SOA principles. So architecturally, you're not going to have some brand new thing to deal with here. I think a real important point here and a real strength of the Microsoft Software Full Services offering is you have all the software in the enterprise. Microsoft has provided a wealth of enterprise technologies. This is not a wave that says, okay, that's being superseded now by something else. This is additive. You're taking the platform, you're extending it into the cloud. And what Software Full Services mean is there's a split between local software and cloud software. What should that split be? It should be different for every customer, and Microsoft's working really hard to allow each customer to easily make that distinction, that choice.
So given that this is a developer talk, let's try to go sort of the level below that and say, what enables that? Right? Why is that? So why can you make the decision more easily?
So obviously you're already well-equipped in the enterprise. So the question is, what do you need to take advantage of the cloud? Now, if you just took your software the way you always wrote it and put it out there in the cloud, that's been around for a while, we call that hosting.
Yeah,
that's nothing new. But there are some powerful new things about the platform. So with a slight change in app model, there are a few new things here, but mostly leveraging your existing skills, which you already know, you can write apps where the front end, the middle tier, the back end, and even the database can scale not only at a massive level, but automatically. So anything you put out in the cloud, the front end, the back end, the database are load balanced automatically. And if you have more traffic, they just swell up. And if you have less traffic, let's say you're a seasonal business, they swell back down. It's automatic. You only pay for what you use.
Yeah, so you're saying it's pretty much the same code that you'd write for, you know, your SQL database on premise, that you can just, you know, take the same code and put it on in the cloud.
Well, at one level of abstraction it might be, but I mean, I think there's actually, if you look at the consulting or enterprise developer, there are probably going to be abstraction layers that we build.
Yeah,
right, so we were talking about that earlier.
So you have an interesting mix of the old and the new. So it should be very comforting that technologies might be used to, like, for web application, ASP.NET, Silverlight, Ajax, all those things remain. You're still writing .NET code.
Yeah.
But there are some capabilities, and also a slightly changed app model so that you can better take advantage of the scalability at every level of your app. I think what's going to be exciting about that is I think that'll probably spill back into general practices everywhere, not just in the cloud. So there's a very exciting refactoring going on about how we do things. So you might expect that adding the cloud dimension adds more complexity to how you write software, but actually because it's been designed well, things actually get simpler. For example, simple HTTP REST URLs give you access to everything the platform has to offer. It's actually very refreshing. There was a PDC keynote session at Don Box, Chris Anderson did, where they used just HTTP requests, things have been in the Microsoft stack, you know, for a while, and they were able to do absolutely everything the platform offers, which is a great deal.
Yeah. So it's all like the way the whole platform kind of grew up around SOA, right? So if you look at where SOA has been going, this is kind of the natural extension. And then the fact that you can use things like REST and XML, so it's all technology that we've been using for a while. And then the ability to leverage WS Trust and use the federated security model. That opens up things that we could certainly do it before, but the ability to use federated security as a service is something that really changes the game. It makes things much easier, not more difficult. That's using technology we're already familiar with.
So I think that's a great point. I totally agree with you, but I'm going to take it one step further. The more I think about this study from every angle, so not only is it a natural evolution that makes sense from the SOA standpoint, it is from a bunch of other vantage points.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
From a database standpoint, right, SQL Server is moving from being a database to becoming a data platform. Live Mesh is moving into live services and being
right. Any
info, any app, and any device anywhere. Even from back to the enterprise, 5 years ago, if you were a department head, you might have an application created, and you might have to go off and requisition a server to put that application on. So now you're more likely to requisition a VM, and IT decides what VMs play on what devices. We run that way here at Desi. Well, the next logical extension of that leads to, well, what if I had an application description, a VM-type requirement that I just told the cloud about, and the cloud could automatically provision and deploy the instances it needs to, and load balance that, and decide what sizing is needed based on the traffic dynamically.
Yeah.
It makes sense, really, from every avenue you think about it.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty exciting when you use the bits, right? You show up and you say, hey, I want to build a solution. I need to have these sorts of things that I need. You click a button, and it just happens for you automatically. It's like it just leaves me out of all the detailed decision-making, right? It just something gets spun up for me. I have some space allocated to me, a certain number of VM hours. And then the tool set, if you have the Visual Studio bits installed, it's just like deploying an application to a local server. It's up there.
To write your app in Visual Studio, be able to test it locally, you can test all the cloud facilities locally, and publish to the cloud, and not have to go out and requisition hardware and get on there and install software, and set things up, and get a domain name. To be able to do that automatically is an amazingly empowering feeling. The way I've been describing it and blogging it is, the very first time I wrote a simple cloud app that actually ran in the cloud and did storage in the cloud. Now, it wasn't rocket science in terms of what it did computer-wise, but it was the feeling was like in that movie Castaway when Tom Hanks says, I have made fire. Exactly what it feels like. It's amazing.
So let's shift from the enterprise more over to yourself as consultants. What's the appealing thing for you? What does make sense to you as developers and as a development company?
So some more tools for us, right? Something else in our toolkit. That's one thing.
So if you provide any kind of services to clients, they're going to need help understanding the cloud and leveraging it best. Software plus services means you have to think about now, well, I have some software local, maybe someone should be in the cloud. What's the right stuff for us to be doing in the cloud? What's the cloud angle, the cloud story, our applications, new projects we have going on, and even our business strategy. What is the cloud? Because the cloud offers new business models, such as advertising-based sites that you can take advantage of. So it really, such a technologist should you be rethinking what this means, even the heads of business.
And I think one thing that was pretty interesting if you go back when all of this came up and when people really talked about software as a service, which I'd say a lot of the initial was, hey, I deploy a black box and you use it as my app was written. You could almost say, hey, you know, our consultants will go out of business. because there is, you know, enterprises will just consume these black boxes. Yep. I think we're finding more and more that people are meshing things up, right? And you'll mesh some stuff up that they have running and that they've, you know, have investments in from tens of years on the enterprise and their core systems with some third-party application with some, you know, logic that you'll build. And that's where I'm seeing sort of a lot of consulting efforts go.
Right.
So, you know, from an initial reaction of, hey, my custom application development is going away, I think that's, you know, about as far from the truth as anything.
No. We actually see it as an exciting time. And even...
The door down in my mouth, exciting.
Right.
We've seen the precursors of this, right? Before the cloud platform was announced recently, you know, people have been doing things like mashups. They would take, like, Virtual Earth, for example. So you would have... That's a simple example, but imagine your enterprise is serving up a website somewhere, but a piece of that is being served up by Virtual Earth. You have, like, combination. Yet this deep intertwingling of the parts isn't complex to do engineering-wise. It's a simple act to do. And this cloud is just a lot more of that in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. So it's a lot of, what's really exciting to me is the area of the enterprise cloud integration, you called it,
yes.
Right? When we were talking earlier. So the idea that we're going to have clients and the need to supply services to partners, right? So that there's going to be a need to help them integrate the cloud into their systems. And then there's also the idea that we can actually build our own services and have those up in the cloud that people can take advantage of. So that's like a whole new interesting area.
It is.
And, you know, we are services consultants, but someone's going to have to build this stuff.
Absolutely.
You
know? In fact, if you do anything that smacks of a product or reasonable components, there's a lot of opportunities here. We're going to need tools, controls. The Azure platform has not only the base cloud OS level, and there's interesting building block services, live services, .NET services, SQL services, but there's room for people to add more. They don't have to all come from Microsoft. So a lot of opportunities.
That brings us to a whole separate different set of developers that we haven't talked about. You know, in the classic world, there are a lot of component builders, right? There's a whole ecosystem of different components that you can take and build your on-premise software. So you see something like that happening on the cloud as well, with a lot of external services that people...
Sure. In fact, I ran into one personally myself. I was writing an application, an estimating application, and I wanted to be able to store estimating worksheets locally, but I also wanted to be able to store and retrieve them from the cloud. And I realized that, you know, something as simple as an open file dialog, a useful version of that would let me choose between my local file system and the cloud. Everything we do, any type of component that already exists, has some cloud angles, cloud story. That's an opportunity for somebody to do something.
Yep.
That's right. So if we, you know, there's one set of developers we haven't talked about that are more in, let's call them product developers, and people that build software to sell to others, not to run their business on or not to consult to others. So what's the angle if you're, you know, a product or software?
An ISV sort of model.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Well, I think some of those people are going to factor out services that they can offer. Right. Well, we do a lot of work with different types of companies that normalize addresses, for instance. So that's a classic service that you can offer. Right? You send me an address string, and I'll tell you whether it exists. I'll normalize it, and I'll package it up so it's a lower cost to mail it or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a great service that people can offer. Or services that do, Virtual Earth is a great example. So any kind of service that people can use in their internal apps, they're all potentially services that we offer to everyone. So it's I'm looking forward to a big ecosystem that springs up around different sorts of services that are available.
And why would you choose Azure versus, you know, hosting it in the classic model we've talked about? Why don't I just, you know, I build my app the classic way and then I just deploy it in a couple of classic hosting locations around the world or wherever I sell to my customers?
Well, if we're still talking about product developers, as we said, the enterprise isn't going away here. So you'd still target the enterprise, whatever your traditional basis. It does make sense if you have some existing product, you would probably cloud-enable it or have a cloud version of it. So that's one category, is just to figure out what the cloud means for my existing products. Another one we kind of mentioned earlier, which is tools, controls, new services that the cloud environment suggests to you. So I think there's going to be a lot of innovation that... the new choices we get and some of the new ways of doing things will suggest whole new types of products to people.
Well, I like the way that if I have a service and I want to deploy it, rather than hosting it myself or hosting it in a traditional model, I might host it with you know, in the .NET or in the Azure cloud, just because you're going to help me market it. I mean, I get a lot of help from Microsoft through either the billing model or through the usage model, right?
Yeah.
So if I can be part of that bigger ecosystem, that's better for me. Otherwise, I'm just someone out here hosting a service somewhere. Yeah. And it's all on me. Whereas, I mean, can I talk about things I'm assuming here? Or
can you can talk about what's on your mind.
Okay. So I mean, my assumption is that there's some way, since there's a rich publishing model already, there'll be some way to use AtomPub or some way to discover services that are available in the cloud. I mean, I think that's a natural progression, right? So I'm hoping that that's an ecosystem building thing that'll be available to people.
And although we're still writing on rights and certain details of the business model, the spirit of it, as I understand it, is if you write a great new building block service with the cloud, Microsoft will actually bill on your behalf. So they'll take care of the whole infrastructure and bill out for you, which is going to be exciting for a lot of software developers who don't have that kind of infrastructure themselves.
Yes. And then it's just easier, right? I mean, the great story with most Microsoft technologies is that the tooling is so good. Right. I mean, the experience for a developer who's pushing something up into the cloud is much easier, I think, even today in this very, you know, what was it, Don Box and Chris Anderson called it, the nascent technology phase, right?
It is a nascent. We should be clear about that as well.
So we're setting the expectations here. But still, I think it's actually easier than a lot of hosting solutions when I'm trying to post something up to some of the more traditional hosting locations.
I was talking yesterday to our own IT people who have been supporting us, so I haven't had a chance to look too much into the cloud yet, and had a conversation that went from starting out with, well, isn't this just hosting under another name, is there something real here, to some real appreciation. The first cloud app, when I thought I was ready to write my first simple cloud app, I sat down, 2 hours later, started in Visual Studio, had something I wrote, tested locally, right-clicked my project and said publish, and, you know, 2 hours of sitting down to start from scratch. I had something that was publicly accessible under a name I chose. I didn't have to go get a server and provision it or anything like that. The world could access something that was really just a dream of a thought 2 hours earlier.
Right.
Come in the morning on a whim with a great new idea and have it executed globally
right.
Same day.
Right. Publicly available up in the cloud.
And the fact that I didn't, and I love RT people, but the fact that I didn't have to go through anybody to make it all happen.
Well, it's just fewer edges, right, in the graph, right?
The only word is empowerment.
Yeah. Or I like, we had a developer, Trinity up in PacWest, was interested in cloud development. She couldn't go to the PDC, but she was interested. So we gave her some pointers about where to go download the SDKs. And without any, like, hyper-evangelism on our part or hand-holding or anything, she just comes back with, okay, I built this. You know, it's a cool app that has a mashup with location information and all that. So it's not something that requires a lot of hand-holding. It's ready for people, developers, to work on today. And I think
that is one of the critical things is, hey, it's the Visual Studio you're used to. It's a lot of the framework development you're used to. And
right. And
when we talked about if I'm an ISV or software company, the enterprise isn't going away. I'm still going to sell the product I had yesterday.
Right.
So the question is, how easy can I also offer a cloud-based version where that makes sense? It might be part of my product, it might be part of my customers, and it's relatively easy now because it's the same programming model, and I can easily decide, easily deploy parts of it to the cloud instead of rewriting a whole new architecture and a whole new product.
And what I love about the platform is that somebody, you know, it might have gone this way. Somebody might have said, well, we think you ought to do these things in the enterprise and these things in the cloud. It might well have been mandated if it had been done differently. The fact, the recognition that split, the right split, is going to be different for every company, that you were empowered to make that choice or to change it over time, is huge. And that's what makes the Azure platform competitive over the other cloud computing platforms, in my view.
Yeah, so one of the things I like is in .NET services. I was at the user group this week in San Diego, and I did a little demo with .NET services, and I showed them that really the difference between running on as a point-to-point app versus leveraging .NET services in a relay, it really was just the WCF binding change. I mean, there really wasn't much code that I wrote differently, or almost no code that I wrote differently. Yeah. It was just changing the binding, and okay, now we have a relationship with the cloud instead of with HTTP/6.
Yeah, a little simple thing, but what did it do for you? It took something that's normally really hard, business to business communication,
right,
and then made it a cinch.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was actually such a small change. I felt some skepticism from the people in the audience that it was actually going through the cloud. So I had to go to the browser, and here's the URI. Yeah. You can see here. I'm going to make a REST call, and it actually did come back to my machine.
Let's be honest here. There was a big number problem with the cloud. It sounds too good to be true. Until you can let somebody actually try it, they may be skeptical.
Right.
Trying is believing it.
Right.
I think your story about your developer and how she adopted it nails exactly that. So right. I think if people are skeptical, go download the SDK and play with it on your own machine and test it back and forth.
Yeah, absolutely.
So hey, thanks a lot for being here today and sharing the thoughts with us. It's really great.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.